This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. For you folks who are listening on the radio, we have a number of very, very, I would have to say, valuable editorials that are up on our website. They were recorded on Friday after the Brexit situation became a reality. And if you want to get more information, as we recorded much of our show prior to the Brexit event, think about listening to the editorials that we have at www.kereport.com. We have opinions from folks like Jeff Deist, Rick Ackerman, Chris Temple, Rob Gray, and others. Very, very interesting opinions. Okay, starting out with our friend Dr. Chris Martinson, co-author in some cases of a number of books, two of which I'm looking at right now. One of them is called Prosper, which is a book that I highly recommend. The other one is called The Crash Course. If you want to get some really interesting food for thought about society in general, these are wonderful books, and they're timeless in every sense of the word. Let's chat about Brexit, if you don't mind, Chris. My opinion about it is hurrah for the Brits, number one. Number two, I think that we may have reached, finally, a point in history where the individual is standing up and starting to say, as he's throwing his television set out the window, as in that old movie, you know, I'm fed up, I can't take it anymore. The Brits clearly have done that. They have said they are tired of being manipulated by the financial interests, by the banks, etc., etc. And who would have thought they decided to leave the European Union? Let's talk about, number one, the hurrah for the Brits philosophy.
Well, good for them, and I'm really proud of the British people for standing up and taking what control they can back, because, I mean, ultimately there were a number of issues, but I think that the number one issue has to be the idea that by being part of the EU, you hand over your right to your own destiny and your right to make your own decisions and your right to pass your own laws to a commission of people who are unelected. They're committees, they're appointed, they're technocrats, they do politicking extraordinarily well, but perhaps not managing and certainly not looking out for individual interests at well at all. So this really, and I think you got it right, the way I see it, is that this was people standing up and saying, enough with this globalization, enough with this centralization, enough with this accumulating power to smaller and smaller, unaccountable, unanswerable hands, and let's bring this back home.
You know, I guess the first thought that pops into mind based on what you have said is that I agree, and the second thought that would come to mind is really in the form of a question, and that is, my personal opinion is this thing is going to be kind of just another event, not a major event. I think eventually this too shall pass. Any comments on that?
The market reaction to Brexit has been nothing short of astonishing, and astonishing at least in part because it's really kind of meaningless at this stage. Whether Britain stays in the euro or not, it doesn't. Listen, Caterpillar's stock price has nothing to do with whatever, you know, trade border issues arise as a result of this. Second, this is just the first step in a very long process. You know, leaving, voting to leave is very different from leaving itself. There are a lot of rules that have to be followed. There are other things. There could well be a second referendum. We've got Cameron resigning, so there's going to have to be another election. If the Conservatives win, they'll go down this path. If they don't, they'll go down this other path. It's going to be years. What's interesting, though, Alice, notice how the markets threw an absolute hissy fit around this. And here's my interpretation. People can disagree. But I think the markets got themselves into a position of believing that the powers that be were always in control. And the fact that the little people of Britain rose up and decided something different from what the main powers wanted. Let's be clear, the banking centers, the, you know, Cameron, the main politicians, the EU people, the ECB, they were all for the Remain vote. They didn't get that. I think that's what spooked the markets a little bit, which is, hey, wait a minute. they're not actually in control as I need them to be to support these crazy asset prices we've got on the books here.
You know, Chris, the concept of globalism has been going on now for probably 100 years or thereabouts. This is the first major step away from that, in my opinion. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, it is, and of course it's emboldened a variety of other voices out there. Marine Le Pen, the far-right leader from France, already calling for a referendum in France to mimic the Brexit vote. Clearly, if we're looking at the blowouts that are happening right now in the sovereign debts of Greece and Spain, there's clearly some concern in the markets that they will also think about following suit. So it's really the concern here is the domino theory, which is Britain leaves and then other countries leave. And then, well, what's the euro? What is the eurozone at that point in time? It involves a major currency. It involves an entire block of free trade. A lot of things could get upended here. And yes, without a question, this represents probably the most significant backward step towards the globalization juggernaut that has happened in decades.
Well, you talk about the euro being a major currency, and obviously anybody with, you know, any knowledge of anything whatsoever could not dispute that fact. But I guess the question that I would have is, if you were to make a prediction, Chris, is this the demise of the euro? Even if the French leave, is this necessarily the demise of the euro? Logic would say it probably is. What do you think?
Well, this is the second major issue that gets exposed by this Brexit leave decision, which is it really does cast a light back on the euro itself, which, let's be clear, it's a failed construct from the beginning. Of course, it's going to take years for that construct to really fail all on its own. I think the leave decision helps to accelerate that process. And, of course, as your listeners I'm sure know, the reason it's a failed construct is that you have a single monetary authority, but you don't have a single taxing authority. And, of course, that's just a recipe for disaster. As we've seen, huge imbalances result where, you know, Germany is basically a major producer and exporter, and then you have other countries that are basically major importers and consumers, and it creates enormous structural balances within and across the whole territory, and nobody knows quite how to solve it. So I think having a single monetary union and a fractured political union is a recipe for disaster. That's what's being accelerated in terms of being exposed right now.
Well, I think it's kind of an interesting concept to discuss. We're down to about a minute here before we have to take a commercial break, is the fact that the euro is not economically anywhere near a homogeneous entity in the sense that Germany has a very strong economy, Italy has a weak economy, Spain has a weak economy, Greece certainly has a weak economy. I mean, how can you have a homogeneous, effective entity when you have those type of economic discrepancies? Because they're not just minor. They are huge.
Absolutely huge. And it's, I don't think it's workable at all. And, of course, what we've seen is, in air quotes here, the solutions that came forward when, for example, Greece was going through its difficulty, the Troika, which was the ECB and the German Bundesbank mainly, and also the IMF, they all came together and they said, oh, let's just keep piling up more debts and we'll figure out how you can pay those off. Everybody with a pencil and a napkin could tell you that there was no way Greece was going to be able to pay these things back. They lacked the ability, the political ability, to actually do what was necessary to even correct the imbalances that had built up in the first place, which of course they're going to build up. So the whole thing just looks like a bad idea with failed implementation and bad leadership. And here we are.
What I want to get into in the next segment after we take the break, Chris, is you know, what started something like this? Because from a fundamental standpoint, the Eurozone was never a good idea. Basic economic fundamentals that I learned 50 years ago as an undergraduate economic major simply didn't make anything, didn't really make for anything that would allow this to happen successfully. Now, having said that, the question is, where do we go from here? I want to talk about that in the next segment, because I think this was a huge wake-up call, I have to say, on an international level. And it'll be interesting to see what the Russians have to say, what the Chinese have to say, what the Japanese have to say, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. Chris and I are going to be right back after a short commercial.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated,
Incorporated provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Chris Martinson and I are discussing the implications of the Brexit situation, which are certainly meaningful right now. Chris, the first thing I want to ask you is something that we ended on in the last segment, and that is purely and simply, the Russians haven't really come out with a definitive statement yet. The Germans haven't really come out with a definitive statement yet. The Chinese haven't. In terms of the U.S., yeah, I mean, we know what the president has to say. You know, now Britain is no longer a friend of ours because they exited the union. That's something that he said actually a number of weeks ago. He didn't say they weren't friends, but he did say that in terms of helping the Brits, they were going to go way down on our list. Probably one of those most ignorant statements ever made by a president of the United States. But how do you think other countries are going to react? Forget about the markets. Let's talk about the leaders.
Again, I don't think there's a lot to react to in the near term because there's a lot of details and a lot of time before this gets hammered out. Politically, however, the landscape has been absolutely shaken to its core, financially shaken to the core. And that is this idea that the people do have some power and some say. I think Putin obviously is going to weigh in on this. He's going to support the right and the will of the people to come forward and make whatever claims they want. But you've got to be sure that Hollande in France is going to be very nervous now with Marine Le Pen clearly taking a lot of the wind from this and putting it into her own sails. And we're going to see a lot of the continued fractionation of Europe because of this, right? So there are a lot of people in Germany, in Greece, who want that self-determination back. They tried very hard during the Brexit campaign to paint them as racists who are just clearly concerned about dark-skinned people, refugees coming into their country, and it wasn't about that. Maybe for some it was, but it really wasn't about that. It was about people wanting to have control over their own country and what their own laws are in a way that's accountable to them. And this is interesting. They have, you know, parliamentary systems across most of Europe, but they have much stronger democratic traditions than most U.S. people are aware of. In France, they've had the largest demonstration since the French Revolution. They've been going on for weeks, hardly covered here, but, hundreds of thousands of people dragging on and on, refineries shut down, petrol shortages, garbage piling up, the whole nine yards. And that's the kind of thing that people in Europe will do when they feel that their rights are being trampled. And so this Brexit vote clearly empowers people who say, hey, not only can we take power back, but we really probably should.
Right now, when you look at the U.S. markets, whether you're talking about the Dow, the NASDAQ, or the S&P, really there aren't a lot of individual investors in the market. It's primarily the large institutions that are, leading the charge, for lack of better terms. Now, where I see potential danger for the markets right now is that if people in the United States have chosen or choose to wake up and say, actually speaking, here's a great example of how a major, major society basically said we want to be the ruler of our own lives as opposed to having other people, i.e. the big financial institutions, rule our lives. If that philosophy breaks into the United States, and I pray to God that it does, I think you're going to see a fall in the markets because perhaps the major institutions, at least initially, will be cutting back a bit. And the lack of individual investors that we have today, that may change. What do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm less hopeful that the United States is going to see any sort of an insurgency like this, if you will, of the little people coming in and having the will heard for a couple reasons. I'm sure you've been following this, but part of the reason that I was shocked and surprised by the leave outcome was because the powers that be have become very good at controlling elections. They do it through shaping public opinion. They also do it through controlling the vote. They have paper ballots in the UK. You can get surprising results like this. We have not had surprising results, except in ways that are statistically surprising, in the United States ever since we got the electronic voting machines. I've said it before, but we do not have a secure voting system in this country. Very hard to ask people to vote something into existence if they don't actually have a legitimate, secure, verifiable, not trustworthy, but verifiable voting system. We don't have one in the United States.
Well, all you have to do is go back to 2000, you can realize that, no question. But I'm not necessarily disappointed with the results of 2000, but I would say that's a pretty good example of what you're talking about. Now, we were chatting earlier in a daily editorial with Rick Ackerman, and Rick was saying he thinks that one of the major impacts in the United States that the Brexit reality is going to have. As he said, I think this is going to put a very, very large amount of strength behind the Trump campaign. What do you think?
Well, that's definitely a possibility, and lots going to hinge on how the financial markets behave going forward. We know there's a very strong push to make sure the United States markets stay elevated. That will help Hillary over Trump, and that's certainly a clear objective of the Obama administration. So we're going to see every attempt to keep these things elevated. But here's a warning for your listeners. These markets have been so overextended. The U.S. stock market's in all-time record high territory when measured in a price-to-sales ratio way. Obviously, bonds in huge, huge stretch territory, all courtesy of the central banks. If this gets away from them, if these markets really crack and get back to what we might call a normal range, there's going to be a lot of dislocation, a lot of disruption, and a lot of what Adam and I write about in the book Prosper is about ways people can become more resilient in their lives that don't necessarily require money or financial aspects, but becoming more resilient in their lives. Because I got to tell you, Al, my view is that if this thing does crack, it's going to be very unpleasant. It's going to take a long time to clean up. It's why the central banks are fighting this tooth and nail, but it's going to crack someday just for math reasons. It will happen. Is this the beginning of it? Maybe. Probably not, but it might be. People should be ready for that.
Chris, I want you to define the term crack in this case.
I'm talking about dislocations in markets that cause them to really shut down. A financial crisis that would look and smell like 2008, but a lot worse this time because we have more debt, just as many derivatives, too big to fail banks or even bigger, sovereign debt's higher. We're hitting this with household debt at all-time highs in several countries. China's gone off the charts with their debt. So if this thing cracks, we're talking about a debt deflation where debts get wiped out. That sounds good if you're holding the debts, but this is something that ruins pensions, endowments, cracks markets, breaks institutions, destroys banks, ruins political careers, that sort of a crack. It's a pretty dire scenario if you think about a world awash in $200+ trillion of debt, and where half of that might get wiped out. When I say crack, there's only one question people should ask themselves, and that is who's going to take the losses? That's really what needs to be decided when you get into a debt deflation, and that's what all the authorities are trying like crazy to make sure it doesn't happen.
I have a lot of faith in human nature. I really do. I don't have a lot of faith in institutions. I mean, look what's happened to the political system in the United States. We have a system where a woman who very possibly could be a felon, could be the next president of the United States. We have a fellow in Donald Trump who's got some really interesting ideas. He certainly has emotions behind him, but is he qualified realistically to be the president of the United States, or are people simply going to vote for him as a protest vote? When the political situation in my country gets to be like that, I've got some real serious doubts about longevity. Chris, always a pleasure.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, now that the Brexit vote is in, the big question is, what does it mean? What does it mean for the future of the world economically? What does it mean for the future of Europe? We have Dan Oliver with us right now. Dan, you're not particularly optimistic, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we think about what the lead up to the Brexit vote taught us, and that is that the society in England is deeply divided over whether Europe's a good idea. And that, you know, debate is reflected in all of Europe. All the far right wing parties in Europe, which have been dormant since World War II, are now in ascendancy. I mean, they're not majority by any stretch of the imagination, but often in these countries, when you have eight political parties vying for the top spot, you don't need to be a plurality. You have to be a majority, just a plurality. And so I think it's demonstrative of deep divisions. And of course, we have that here. I think it's highly interesting that for 100 years, the Democratic Party was the party of labor, of sort of a motley crew of college professors and union people, that kind of thing. And Republicans were the establishment, right? CEOs hanging at their country clubs and that kind of thing. And now it's completely reversed. Hillary Clinton has the support of all the fat cat CEOs, all of Wall Street likes her, all the union bosses like her, all the structures of society, the establishment loves Hillary, and of course, Trump. All the intellectuals hate him, and his support comes from blue-collar workers and people lower down in the social strata. So we've completely switched positions here in terms of what the populists represent and what the establishment represents. And so I think, again, the vote in Europe and the U.S. all reflect the tendency, and it's driven by economic policies which don't work. I mean, the economics profession, if we look back 100 years ago, it was treated as a humanity. Economists look back at history, ancient history, near history. It didn't matter. To find out how people behaved and how people acted and then shaped policy to reflect human nature. Now models come out of MIT or Princeton, wherever they are. You can't get a master's degree at Princeton Economics Department unless you it's full of models, economic mathematical models that no one else can understand. And then they wonder when people don't respond to how the models say they're supposed to respond. And of course, people, you know, the models don't work, but the scary thing is that policies implemented that they do. And so the Federal Reserve changes its you know, interest rates this way or that, depending on how these models behave. And we know they're not working. And one reason is the Fed's been saying since 2008 that they were going to unwind QE and return its balance sheet to its normal size. Well, that's never going to happen, of course. The Fed's supposed to be raising rates. Well, after the employment numbers of early June, that's off the table now. So they're losing control of, of their own narrative of what's supposed to happen. And I think this is feeding into all the unhappiness in for most people, not obviously the people at the top of the credit game are doing very well, thank you very much, but everyone else underneath it are not. And I think all these issues reflect that.
Well, Dan, I think the overwhelming takeaway now that the Brexit vote is behind us is simply the world continues to be in a slow growth environment. Central banks around the world continue with easy money policies, and we continue to see yields on long-term or long-term treasury notes fall, even though we did have a little bit of a bounce back this week. There's not much yield to be had out there, and when you look at the aging populations, and especially the big baby boomer group, plus the aging population in, let's say, Japan, there is this upcoming big bill, I think, that needs to be footed by a lot of large companies, and they're not able to increase their investment basis. And that's why not only central banks, I think, are worried, and one of the reasons why it seems like the Fed is consistently catering to what the market's doing, but it's also, I think, a concern for the younger generation that is informed, understanding that they need to not only start saving for their own retirement, but also probably need to pay forward for future retirement of the baby boomers when they all move into that scenario in their life.
From a basic economic standpoint, the world has been in trouble economically for a lot of years, and we're not going to get out of it by continuing to believe that it's okay to finance everything via debt. And that's what the philosophy is right now. It ain't going to happen. Look at the French. Look at the English. Look at our country, for God's sakes.
Well, I completely agree with you. I mean, the problem with what Corey said is that, you know, people wanting to save. How do you save? No one knows how to save, right? You don't want to save in cash. That's crazy. I mean, you know, inflation eats you alive. You can't put it in the bank. They don't give you interest payments. You can't put it in the stock market because it's overvalued. You don't want to put it in bonds because then you're exposed to the currency. I mean, I think gold is a very good place to save, but it's a little scary because everyone's told you not to do that, and they might confiscate it. I mean, there are lots of places that people don't know what to do. But the problem is, if you go listen to what the monetarists are saying, so the Chicago School, who are against the Keynesians, and, you know, they're all wringing their hands and saying, why didn't the Fed raise rates when they had a chance to, you know, 2-3 years ago? They waited now it's too late. And I think, to me, it really misunderstands how the system works, because it implies that the Fed is somehow independent, that they can just, you know, turn the dial where they want to, when they want to, and it doesn't affect everything else. But the economy, the financial market is a feedback loop. The problem is that the Fed's policies for the past 20 years, and especially in the last, you know, 15, have encouraged massive amounts of overcapacity, not just in this country, but everywhere. And so, you know, when they print a lot of money, like in 2008, it's great, it boosts business, but what it does is it encourages them to build more capacity, which lowers prices in the end. And that's what we're seeing coming out of China, and out of every direction. It's falling prices because you've got too much overcapacity. And so now you're in a situation where, yeah, the Fed can raise rates if they want to, but all it's going to do is blow up the corporate bond sector and therefore the bank system. And so they can't do that. And had they done that 3 years ago, they just would have accelerated the blow up. It wouldn't have changed anything. So the problem is that we're stuck in a model that you can't get out of. I think it's Hayek who said in 1979, right before things really got bad, that he'd been writing about these problems for decades, and now everyone wanted to know how to get out of them without any pain. And the answer is you can't. Well, once you've changed the structure of production and you've destroyed the capital basis of the economy, you can't just wave a wand and say, well, there's one policy that'll fix it. You've got to take the pain of reorienting your economy and get rid of all the malinvestments and taking the losses. And the only question then is where the losses are going to lie. And right now it looks like the losses are going to lie on the people who are holding currency or claims in currency, be they pension funds or be they bondholders, whoever they are. And don't forget, 0% interest rates not only affect savers who want to save anywhere, but it's destroying the pension industry. It's forcing them to make very speculative bets. I mean, you can get yield today in subprime auto paper, right? But you might not want your pension in that. And, of course, insurance companies are blowing up, too. And the money market funds are starting to blow up now. I mean, I know some of them have announced that starting in 2017, they're going to pass on their costs of operation. And since they have no yield, what that effectively means is they'll start charging their holders negative rates. Well, how long will you keep your money in a money market fund that's actually taking money from you? So the whole structure of finance is coming apart at the seams, and the Fed and the ECB just simply don't know what to do other than print more money and shake it around. And my guess is they will do that at some point when they really have to. The only question is when.
Dan, do you think that the U.S. will go into negative interest rates sometime soon?
Well, again, my view on that is that I look at the interest rates not as return on capital issue or where the Fed policy issue, but an issue in terms of a short squeeze on currency. But there's a huge demand in the amount of currency that exists, the amount of debt that there is. And what treasury bonds are unimpeachable contract to deliver currency. And so they become incredibly valuable. And unless that process is interrupted by some sort of blow-up, I mean, that is where rates are naturally headed, and they're naturally headed for the same reasons that they've been there in Japan, like they're there in Switzerland now, and all sorts of other places, that basically treasury bonds are the collateral against which the bank system operates, and therefore there's an enormous demand for them and a very short supply because the Fed's bought them all up. So I think that's where we're headed, and again, it has very deep implications for the structure of the financial system.
But I have to tell you, I think it is, if nothing else, a very definite indication of just what is going on in society around the world. You know, you simply cannot live by Keynesian economics. You simply can't do it. And that's what people are trying to do. I know it makes the politicians look good sometimes. In the long run, it's going to make them look actually absolutely terrible. Having said that, Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following is an incredible, life-changing free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing everything more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-957-9364. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and even free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-957-9364. That's 1-800-957-9364. 1-800-957-9364.
Okay, back to wrap the first hour with Mr. Temple. Chris, you brought up some interesting commentary to one from Stratford, one from Wall Street, pertaining to the banking system in Europe that was near and dear to my heart. I want to tell you why I say that. It basically dealt in a very broad sense, actually more than just a very broad sense, with reserve requirements. Okay, reserve requirements are critical to a banking system. Let me tell you, I know that for a fact. I had some friends who put a regional bank together in the Portland, Oregon area. The Federal Reserve came in after they'd been in business for probably 6 or 7 years and just flat shut them down in one day. And the reason they did that is because their reserves were not being brought up to date. Mark-to-market did not exist in their reserves, which did not conform to real estate requirements, changes in prices. Put that bank out of business. Now look what's going on in Europe right now. Boy, there is a lot of what I would have to say gyrations going on in terms of what are and what are not considered to be reserves over there. You're a real expert on this, Chris. What's going on?
Well, first of all, one of the initial objections that sensible people had to this whole euro scheme way back on day one and before it was launched in 1999, Al, was that it was clear to anybody that had half a brain that the wealthier and more fiscally responsible nations of Europe, mostly Germany, but also those like the Netherlands and Finland, to name a couple more, were going to be bled dry over time and have their banking systems and their own national finances weakened by joining all of them with countries where you have different economies, different social structures to some extent, and economies and nations that did not have the same standards as those senior nations do. The nations, of course, that came to be known as the pigs nations, Portugal and Ireland, Italy, Greece and Spain. Now, Ireland is in better shape these days, but most of the rest of them aren't. A couple of them, Spain and Italy, want to get the hell out of the Eurozone. No matter when, as we're recording this, we don't know how the Brexit vote's going to go, but either way it does go, you've got other countries that want to try the same thing and vote to leave. So nobody likes this thing. But what's happened is that unlike the U.S., where the banking system is in much better shape after the financial crisis because of some changes here, in Europe it's still a shambles. And you've got all of these zombies, especially in these periphery nations, like most of the pigs nations, that are in trouble. And what some of the countries like Germany and Finland and the Netherlands have tried to push recently are rules that frankly would take the European banking system back to the way things were before the euro. But things are such a mess now that if you try and be stricter with capital requirements and reserves and so forth, you reveal the reality that everybody knows behind the scenes now, and that is that you've got a lot of banks insolvent that are zombies that are being propped up by the European Central Bank and others. So unilaterally, finance and banking ministers pushed this 18 months down the road. We don't even want to talk about it. We're not going to do anything about this. And for good measure, a few days ago, it was reported in Germany that the latest effort on the part of some German business and banking interests and political interests to challenge Germany's continued enabling of what is doomed for a spectacular failure be challenged in a constitutional court threw that out again, not for the first time, because they're not going to stand in the way of Mario Draghi and his whole scheme to inflate or die and keep all these zombie banks alive. And what I want to get to, hopefully we have time, is a lesson from history that I've repeated to my subscribers recently and would like to tell again about how these so-called constitutional courts will never stand in the way of finance.
So, Chris, is this more of a story in your eyes of something needing to be done, let's say, on a political level in terms of loosening or, enabling banks to fully report on what they're holding rather than almost being handcuffed so that they cannot report because, well, that would bring them to an insolvent status?
We're past all that, Corey. This is all about extend and pretend, and it's more acute with Europe's banks than with a lot of other things. It's also been the case in the oil patch in the U.S. and so forth. You know, this is not going to be fixed by legal means. The only political means that might bring this to a head would be if we see one by one nation start to pull out of this scheme, go back as some need to do to their own currencies, etc. But it's not going to be done conventionally. And while we have time, let me tell this story real quick to disabuse people that these alleged courts are ever anything but enablers and rubber stamps when there's a crisis for the status quo. Back in 1987, then-President Ronald Reagan nominated to the Supreme Court arguably the best mind of the last century, and that was Judge Robert Bork. And Judge Bork was immediately attacked by liberals and leftists and others who were horrified at his idea of, God forbid, we accept the Constitution as written and go back to the principle that the federal government has no powers and aren't specifically given to it in the Constitution. Now, when his hearing was going on, his confirmation hearing, I still lived in upstate New York at that time, a visitor in my home, you can Google him, his name was Bruce McCarthy, who unfortunately passed away just recently. He was one of the smartest people I ever met in my life as far as the background of the banking system, how fractional reserve banking works, the machinations of the Federal Reserve, etc. And by coincidence, Bruce happened to be in my home when we were watching the confirmation hearing for Judge Bork. I had him to lecture at a few places in New York State. And Bork was asked a question by one of the senators. I'm paraphrasing. It was basically, well, Judge Bork, you have said that in many cases in the past, the Supreme Court has been wrong. They've turned a blind eye to government encroaching on powers that it doesn't have, or Supreme Court itself has managed to whip up rights that were in the Constitution that weren't ever stated or intended. You know, give us your number one example of this. Give us a, for instance, of where the Supreme Court was so egregiously wrong. Now, everybody expected him, or most everybody expected him to say what? Roe versus Wade, or something like that. But without hesitation, he said that the Supreme Court was most egregiously wrong in what were called the legal tender cases in the late 1860s and into the 1870s, where in order to be able to prosecute what some Southerners would have called the War of Northern Aggression, Abraham Lincoln took upon himself monetary powers, and so did the federal government, that it never had. And we would need to every segment of this program, all 2 hours, to talk about the nuances, but the gist of it is that was where Bork said the government, the Supreme Court specifically, were wrong. You know, and but before Bruce and I could stop patting one another on the back, you know, happy that Bork brought this up, and without even being prompted, he said, but I would never, were I confirmed to the Supreme Court, if a case came in front of us, I would never vote to overturn those cases. Because everybody these days uses Federal Reserve notes. We're all beholden to this system. And going back to what things should have been would be too disruptive to society and to the economy. So bottom line, folks, is that when someone who is probably the best nominee to the Supreme Court in the last century plus, and I loved Antonin Scalia, and Clarence Thomas is a great one too, but when Judge Bork would even tell you that he would choose the status quo and the stability of the financial system above the Constitution, why would anybody have thought that Germany's Constitutional Court would shoot down what is clearly unlawful under both German law and the Maastricht Treaty? Why would anybody think that anybody is going to stop the ECB and the rest of these schemers from consolidating their power through this doomed currency and doomed banking system, probably until it blows up on its own?
You know, I got to tell you, I agree 100%. And just a personal note here, I watched the Bork confirmation hearings, every single one of them. I got to tell you, I think it was a travesty that he was not appointed to the bench, seriously. And I really mean that. Personal opinion from you on that one, Chris?
Well, I think Bork was a great man also. I think he would have, unfortunately, however, turned out just like Justice Scalia did, just like Clarence Thomas has done, where more often than not they're taking their principled position, but they're fighting a losing battle. We have long since got past the time where the Constitution in many areas is even relevant. It's ignored. It's gone past by the federal government. In some cases, we're told it doesn't even apply anymore. So, you know, I remember there was a group that I used to get their newsletter many years ago, the Committee to Restore the Constitution or some such thing. The sure. Constitution is dead and buried and pushing up daisies.
Yeah, it is. All you have to do is read some of the publications from Hillsdale College. And I want to recommend that everybody take a look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, right after the news at the top of the hour, Corey and I are going to be right back with the second hour of our show.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.